As we now look at the content of our message, we would do well to consider what to avoid. As we've already seen, much of what passes for ministry today has been compromised by the leaven of humanism that often treats its audience as autonomous creatures that have every right to sit in judgment on both God and His Word, and throwing away the rest. Along with this has come a result-oriented approach to soul winning, then with the content of the message. If the number's not high enough, then the message is changed. Make a decision.
You know, surveys show that 82% of Americans believe in God and believe themselves today than any other time. So the question has to come up, what kind of gospel are we preaching? What's wrong with what we're believing?
There have been studies that suggest that both numerically as well as by percent of the total population, more people profess to believe in God and be. And yet, with all these numbers, the church has less influence in our culture today. In part, the answer may be that instead of seeking of God, which the Holy Spirit uses to convict the elect of their sins, many are seeking the judge of ministry success and not wanting to offend and drive people away, or the bloody offense of the cross. As a result, the church is offering the wrong kind of base. Preaching and evangelism is food for goats. And goats are now everywhere.
That the cross was an offense. It offends our sensibilities. How do you pass seeker sensitive? Well, what you have to do is you have to take away the offense. And when you take away the offense, you take away the gospel.
The renowned scholar and soul winner, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, presented the solution. And the demands of the law and the eternal consequences of evil. Of course, people will not come. As Pastor Stephen Lawson noted in his book, Made in Our Image, services are designed more to remove the fear of God than to promote it.
And the gospel is preached clearly and boldly. It will produce conflict. And so, as a result, they will change the gospel, water it down, or try to take away its offense.
When the evangelistic meeting produced the effect of people, of large numbers of people walking forward at the end of the meeting, than you do when you're pressing the gospel upon the hearts of men and urging them to respond.
Minister and author of the classic book, The Sovereignty of God, observed, the nature of Christ and a Savior from sin. And that is why so many are fatally deceived, for there are multitude and worldliness. Instead of preaching the law of God to convict God, many churches opt for a non-confrontational approach to both preaching and the gospel says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you love, joy, peace, fulfillment. Claims are true. And what does he get? The promised temptation, tribulation, and persecution. Fruits of the gospel. They are not the tree, and definitely not the root. If we really love people, then we need to tell them the truth. And what is the truth? That if they're outside of Christ, if they have not submitted to Him as Lord and Savior, then they're sin. As Jonathan Edwards preached in perhaps the most famous sermon in American history, the immutable rule of righteousness that God has fixed between Him and mankind is God.
We tell people they don't need to repent because God loves them just the way they are. And the only reason to come to peace or greater happiness or a better trip than they'll get from drugs. That's not the gospel.
Promiscuous love. Promiscuity throws love around sentimentally without discretion. Has the purpose of redeeming us and changing us. God doesn't the way we are. God loves us so that we can be what He wants us to be.
This non-believer is going to say, well, if God loves me the way I am, why should I change? We've got to get rid of that kind of humanistic nonsense.
Only in direct relation to the bad news that it comes to address, that all righteous standards, more times than we can number, that the wages of our sin is death, in anticipation of the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Without understanding the defense against a thrice holy God, the good news becomes the okay news, modern therapeutic culture. Martin Luther understood this. He was a trick and device of the arch enemy of man, Satan. the God of men should not be terrified by the law, but gently exhorted by the preaching of the grace of Christ. Sadly, often ignored keys to effective evangelizing is showing people that they're dead. And the primary means that God has appointed to bring men to an awareness of the sin and death at risk and that can find the silent killer, the cancer, or the clogged artery. The commandments reveal
this, is it provides us with the guideline, the plumb line, the reality check that enables us to hold the line rather than just subjectively good.
We study the law of God because the holiness, but by contrast, it stands as a mirror. I look in the mirror of God's law, of myself.
Much of the church today, unlike the church of decades and centuries, many believe it to be antiquated, harsh, or part of the Old Testament, and therefore of no use. The law is good if one uses it lawfully. By way of an art can be good. Fire, if used lawfully, can produce energy. Heat a home on a cold morning, or used unlawfully, fire can cause pain, suffering, and destruction on a grand scale. If one uses it as a tool for self-righteousness or to earn heaven, he will eventually find the law of God was never intended to save. The Apostle Paul is the knowledge of sin, that as fallen creatures we would not have known sin if the law has the unique ability to magnify the horror of our transgressions, so that sinful.